Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke again, Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. You can find that on page 877 of your pew Bible. However, our preaching text is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and the age to come eternal life." Now jump to verse 35. "And he drew near to Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' And he cried out, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." And chapter 19, this is our preaching text this morning. "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on the account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord, it endures forever. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. This is a traditional children's song, and perhaps many of you in this congregation, I'm sure, you grew up singing this song. But this story of Zacchaeus is more than Zacchaeus climbing a tree. It is a story about God who does the impossible. It is a story about God the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost. Remember our scripture reading in Luke chapter 18, especially the encounter between the rich ruler and Jesus? What happens at the end of the conversation? Jesus said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the people around Jesus, they were all puzzled. And they were saying, "Then who can be saved?" And what did Jesus say to them? "What is impossible with man is possible with God." This is what Luke wants us to see us. You see, you can see this theme even at the beginning of Luke chapter 1, where Mary, she says to angel Gabriel, "How can this be? How can I bear a son when I don't know a man?" What does angel Gabriel tell us in Luke chapter 1 verse 37? "For nothing is impossible with God." Now leap forward to chapter 18 again. Can a blind man enter the kingdom of God? The answer is, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And in chapter 19, can Zacchaeus enter the kingdom of God? And God gives us a twofold answer. What is impossible with Zacchaeus is possible with God. Let us consider the first point of the sermon, impossible with Zacchaeus. You see, in verse 1, Jesus is entering Jericho. The reason is, Jesus started this big, long journey, which began in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, where Luke's record for us that Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. We are 10 chapters in, but Jesus has not gotten to his final destination. Jesus' final destination is Jerusalem. So that's why he entered Jericho and he was passing through, so that he can leave the other side of the city. And in verse 2, we are told about Zacchaeus. The name Zacchaeus is derived from the Hebrew word meaning righteousness, fidelity, innocent, and pure. And we are told that Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. And in those days, tax collectors were put into the category as open sinners. You might ask, why are they classified as open sinners? There are two reasons for that. The first reason is that they helped the Roman government by collecting taxes from their own Jewish people. The second reason is because tax collectors, they were known to collect excessive amount notoriously to enrich themselves. Lord Acton, a British historian of the 18th and the 20th century, he once said, "Absolute power corrupts absolutely." An observation that a person's sense of morality lessens as his or our power increases. And the scripture tells us that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, which means he could make money not only of the people he collected taxes from, but also from the tax collectors under his authorities. That's why he is despised even more by his fellow Jews. So Zacchaeus' position in life made it impossible for him to enter the kingdom of God. But the scripture also tells us that Zacchaeus was rich. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, we find the rich to be outside the kingdom of God. We see it in Luke chapter 12, in the parable of the rich fool. We see it in Luke chapter 16, the story between the rich man and Lazarus. And finally, in Luke chapter 18, we see this encounter between the rich ruler and Jesus. Now Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. You see, Zacchaeus has amassed a lot of money through his profession. And he has set his heart on the riches of this world. And thereby, it is impossible for him to enter the kingdom of God. And there was another obstacle that was against Zacchaeus. You might be tempted to think that it was his stature. In fact, we all sing that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. While it is true that Zacchaeus was small in stature, but the main obstacle was the people. Why do I say that? Again, think about the incidents that happened in chapter 18. The little children, the infants, they had problem coming to Jesus. The blind man, he had problem coming to Jesus. But guess what? Who had no problem getting to Jesus? The rich ruler. Why was he able to have an audience with Jesus? Because in the eyes of the crowd, and according to him, he was a holy man. And that's why he says, all these commandments, I have kept it even from my youth. But Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, a despised and a hated traitor and a sinner. But he was the chief and the rich tax collector. He was an extraordinary sinner. Why should he get an audience with Jesus? So the people, they don't care about him. That's why they block him. Thus, you see, it is impossible for Zacchaeus to enter the kingdom of God because of his profession. You see, it was impossible for Zacchaeus to enter the kingdom of God because of his possession. It was impossible for Zacchaeus to enter the kingdom of God because of the people around him. But most important thing of all, it was impossible for Zacchaeus to enter the kingdom of God because of his sin. For some of us, it might be our profession. For others of us, it might be our possession. But all of us are in the same situation like Zacchaeus, and we are in the same place of Zacchaeus because of our sins. The scripture tells us, surely the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ears dull that it cannot hear. But our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God, and our sins have hidden his face from us so that he does not hear. But the good news is, Christian, through this passage, God encourages us and he consoles us, saying, do not trust in your profession for salvation. Do not trust in your possession for your salvation. Do not trust in the people around you for your salvation. And do not trust in your law keeping, your good works for salvation. Because none of them can get you to God. We should remember the words of Jesus. what is impossible with man is possible with God. And God calls us to turn our eyes and our hearts to Jesus Christ. So Zacchaeus, he decides to climb the sycamore tree to see who Jesus is. Because whenever he meets with the other tax collectors, he constantly hears them talking about Jesus. And besides, he got the memo from the Pharisees and the scribes that Jesus is a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So Zacchaeus, out of mere curiosity, out of mere eagerness, he climbs into the sycamore tree. Now, let us consider the second point of the sermon. Possible with God. And when Jesus, when he comes to that place, he looks up and he addresses Zacchaeus directly. He says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Another way of translating it is, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today it is necessary that I stay at your house." You see, it was a divine necessity that Jesus, even in his final journey towards Jerusalem, that he has to stay at Zacchaeus' house. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Christian, what a Savior we have in Jesus. You see, just like that blind beggar, Zacchaeus, he could not get to Jesus. But the good news of the gospel is, you cannot get to Jesus. We cannot get to Jesus, but he can get to you. Jesus can hear you. And Jesus can hear you over the noise, and Jesus can see you through the crowd, and Jesus saves his people. Maybe you're thinking, "I have too many bad habits. I have too many dark secrets. I have too much filth in my hands. I have too much dirt in my heart. Maybe like Zacchaeus, I could watch Jesus from a distance. I can even come to a Sunday worship. I can watch Jesus from a distance, but Jesus cannot save me." If you are that person, I urge you, remember the words of Jesus. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And Jesus says to you, "Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool." Jesus saves the unsavable. He saves both the respectable sinners and he saves the scandalous sinners. And Jesus loves the unlovable. And Jesus redeems the unredeemable. Think about this, brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of us would have been saved if the Lord had waited that we should sort him out? The answer is zero. No, not one. Listen to what A.W. Pink says. "It was not Adam who sought God, but God sought Adam. And this has been the order ever since. There is none that seek after God. It was God who sought out and called Abraham while he was an idolater. It was God who sought out Jacob at Bethel while he was fleeing from the consequence of his wrongdoing. It was God who sought out Moses while he was a fugitive in Midian. It was Christ who sought out the apostles while they were engaged in fishing, so that he could say, 'You did not choose me, but I have chosen you.' It was Christ, in his ineffable love, came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was the shepherd who seeks the sheep, not the sheep that seeks the shepherd. And how true it is that we love him because he first loved us. Oh, that we might appreciate more deeply the marvelous condescension of deity in stooping so low as to care for and seek out such poor forms of the dust. Christian, this is our God. This is our God, Christian, who in the person of His Son Jesus Christ, He seeks and saves the Lord, the lost. Christian, this is our God. This is our God who does the impossible. And Zacchaeus, he gladly and joyfully, he welcomed Jesus into his house. And immediately, the crowd began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." This is actually the third time that the audience grumble at Jesus' decision. The other two times, they are found in Luke chapter 15, verse 2, as well as in Luke chapter 5, verse 30. In both incidents, Luke identifies those grumblers as Pharisees and the scribes. A unique feature in this incident is that Luke does not identify who the grumblers are. But more importantly, Jesus does not encounter the grumblers, at least immediately, but he gives the floor to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, he stood up and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." There are two pitfalls that we need to avoid. The first pitfall that we need to avoid is that thinking that we can get to heaven with our money. Please do not get the text wrong. You are not saved by giving. This would be a Roman Catholic doctrine on indulgence, giving money to buy your ticket to heaven. Let me tell you why it does not work. If I were the rich ruler, I would be angry at Jesus. I would say, "Wait a minute, Jesus. I object. Is the kingdom of God on sale today? Are you giving a 50% discount to this evil man? You asked me to give up everything to follow you. But you did not ask Zacchaeus to give up anything. He just volunteered to give up half of all he owns and to give back fourfold of what he has stolen. And you accepted that? How come you accept only half from Zacchaeus, but you ask everything from me?" You see the problem here? Zacchaeus was not clearly buying his ticket into heaven. If that were the case, God's grace is cheap. But God's grace is not cheap. His grace is so precious, it costed him his son. His grace is so precious that it took the blood of Jesus Christ. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. It took the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Son of God to save sinners. That's the first pitfall you need to avoid. You can't buy your way to heaven with your money. The second pitfall you need to be avoided is that treating Zacchaeus' generosity to the poor as some kind of a role model for reparation. Seeing it as some kind of socialism. This is not a case for socialism, so that the rich will be forced to redistribute their wealth. But rather, it is a case that proves what is impossible is made possible. Jesus has ushered a rich man into the kingdom of God. A rich man is convinced of his sin of greed. A rich man who is powerfully converted and he obeys his master. Not just coming down from the tree and receiving Jesus into his house, but in demonstrating obedience by giving half of his wealth to the poor and making restitution as prescribed in the Old Testament law. We can see that in Leviticus chapter 6 verses 2 to 5, in 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 6, and in Exodus chapter 21 verse 1, as well as in verse 37. Here you see a powerful as well as a rich man being made fruitful by the presence of Jesus Christ in his life. You see, we do good works not to earn our salvation before God. This is impossible, and no one on planet Earth could do it. But rather, we do good works because of our union with Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 15 verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, we do good works because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of sanctification, he works in our heart. And he who began a good work in you, he will carry it out until the completion of the day of Jesus Christ. For Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, it tells us, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Never forget this, Christian. Never forget this. Our obedience, it flows from the cross. It does not contribute to it. It is a fruit of our union with Christ, and it's not the root. And those who love Christ the most are those who know how much they have been forgiven by him. And Jesus says to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. The name Jesus in Hebrew means salvation. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly. So when Jesus says, salvation has come to this house, it's literally a play on words. Salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house because Jesus, God's salvation, was gladly welcomed. Salvation has literally come into the flesh, into Zacchaeus' home. And Zacchaeus, he becomes a new man. The presence of Jesus has changed Zacchaeus' heart. Zacchaeus' heart is no longer captivated for the love of money or wealth or fame. Scripture tells us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now Zacchaeus' heart longs for God. Zacchaeus has a new treasure in heaven, the one true God. And he is also a son of Abraham, who just like Abraham, repents and gladly receives Jesus into his heart. And Christian, here is the good news of the gospel. That you too, by faith in Jesus Christ, that you are a true son and a daughter of Abraham. And let your heart be glad, because you have a treasure in heaven that does not fail. And let your heart be joyful, for in Jesus Christ, you also were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh, but the circumcision of Jesus Christ. Now you are no longer slaves to sin or sinful desires. That's the good news of the gospel. And in verse 10, Jesus further confirms Zacchaeus' salvation by speaking of his own purpose of coming to the earth. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was totally lost. Zacchaeus was utterly lost, and it was impossible for Zacchaeus to obtain salvation on his own. Despite all these circumstances, the Son of Man, he comes seeking and saving the lost sinners. And this is the story of Christmas. Remember our song of praise? Jesus was born for this. Jesus was born to save. Jesus saves helpless sinners. Jesus saves hopeless sinners. Jesus saves wretched sinners. And Jesus saves rotten sinners. And that's why Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he can gladly say, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." And finally, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the story of Zacchaeus, it's a beautiful gospel story where God, through His Son Jesus Christ, He seeks and saves the wee little man whose profession, whose possession, and whose sin made it impossible to be saved. And in this story, we hear a thundering answer for the question, who can be saved? That what is impossible with man is possible with God. And God wants us to know that salvation is completely beyond the sphere of human possibilities. Every attempt to enter the kingdom of God on the basis of achievement or merit is futile and useless. But through His Son, Jesus Christ, salvation is possible. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we praise You for Your amazing grace and sending us Your Son, Jesus Christ, on earth, who not only saves a rich man, a man whose profession gave him plenty of opportunity to steal and covet, but also changing the man's heart from being fixated with earthly treasures to be fixated with heavenly treasure. We thank You for giving us this great assurance and certainty that what is impossible with man is possible with You, that nothing is too hard for You. Help us to walk before You in the joy of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.